Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll asking you, do you approve or disapprove of President Trump's handling of the country? As it stands now, 70% are saying approve, 30% disapprove, which surprises me. In solid red Louisiana, Cristobal, it appears as though it's not going to be very strong by the time it gets here, but we'll update you as far as that goes, top and bottom of the hour, and we'll talk to some parish officials later. Quickly, the I Have a Dream speech was 63, and they are going to have a march this year. It's the 57th anniversary. It's not necessarily because it's a round number. It's because of the protests that are going on. To clean that up, Jeff McCausland joins us now. Our friend, CBS military analyst. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Tommy, I'm doing well.
Your thoughts on the military, let's break it down first of all by what the president can and can't do, and we understand I don't have it in front of me, Colonel, the act and so
Insurrection
forth.
Act.
Insurrection Act, yeah. But in terms of National Guard, first of all, the process on this, the governors control the National Guard, and the only reason the president was able to do this in D.C. was because it is a district and not a state?
That's correct. I mean, the District of Columbia is a special case. There's no governor for the District of Columbia. It is a federal area. So the president has the executive capacity and authority to call out the District of Columbia National Guard and use them for putting down civil disorders or if there was a response to a natural disaster. But the Insurrection Act, going back to 1807, really allows presidents to use federal forces inside the continental United States if one of three things occurs. First, of course, there is an area that's under outright insurrection. This would be the American Civil War and Abraham Lincoln. The second would be at the request of a governor who, because it was a natural disaster or civil disorder so bad that they had exceeded the capacity of the governor to respond. And we've seen that occur on a couple of circumstances. Back in 1968, for example, then governor of Michigan, George Romney, father of the current senator from the great state of Utah, requested federal forces after massive riots across the country had affected Detroit, and the 82nd Airborne Division was dispatched to Detroit. This in the aftermath of the killing of Dr. Martin Luther King. In 1992, the governor of California and the mayor of Los Angeles requested federal forces in the aftermath of the beating of Rodney King by police, which sparked large-scale riots in Los Angeles. But both of these were short and rather focused. And the third way that the president could use forces is if he believed that federal laws were being flaunted in a particular part of the country. And this was a rationale used by Eisenhower in 57. And by John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s to desegregate schools in the South and to ensure that the Civil Rights Act were enforced. But in this case, it seems to me at least that none of those three categories apply in terms of the president forcing federal forces to go into a particular state or locale. And that rationale actually now seems to be echoed by the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Esper, who has distanced himself from the president following this unfortunate incident that occurred on Monday in Lafayette Park.
My interpretation of this, my opinion, and I could be wrong, but is that the emperor is rapidly losing his clothes, and I think as the president loses clout, you're going to see more and more people coming out. For example, General Mattis felt as though with that, I called it a dismissive missive that he wrote about the president abusing his power. It was stage one. A lot of other high-ranking generals have come out. We can continue this after the break, Colonel. I'm sorry, I'm promoting you.
That's fine.
Have come out against the president. And you would have to believe that for these four high-ranking generals to agree in their opinion, it would have to be one hell of a conspiracy if everything was okay and we didn't have a problem on Pennsylvania Avenue. We'll pick it up here. We come back. Blue Runner Gumbo Opinion Poll. You can cast your vote at WWL.com. What do you think? Do you approve of the job the president's doing with the country or not? About 70% are approving. Colonel, when we come back, please don't let me forget. I also want to talk about these troops that are forming in Washington. Who is it? And also as it relates to the president's ability to use them, as it and then going back to the Secretary of Defense with Mark Esper, who has the final say, etc. We're talking about the use of military as it relates to these protests that are going around the city, in some cases riots. I'll read you a passage from General Mattis when we come back. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking about the military aspects of the protests that are going on throughout the country. A letter from General Mattis, Bulldog Mattis, and let me just say this. The president tweeted that he gave the general the name Bulldog, which goes back to 2004, and he also said that he fired the general, and he clearly didn't. And whether you love the president or not, those are outright lies. And at some point, somebody's going to have to stand up and say, wait a minute, going back to my Emperor New Clothes analogy, where this guy's not wearing any clothing. And I think that's starting to happen, and I think his support is starting to erode, and I'll go into that later. Donald Trump says General Mattis is the first president in my lifetime who does not try to unite the American people, does not even pretend to. Instead, he tries to divide us. We're witnessing the consequences of 3 years of this deliberate effort. We are witnessing the consequences of 3 years without mature leadership. Colonel McCausland, our guest from CBS News. Colonel, I don't know how you can disrespect or call General Mattis a disgruntled former employee or Admiral Mullen, was it?
Mullen.
And the other, pardon me?
Admiral Mullen, yeah.
Yeah. You know where I'm going with this. I don't know how you can just discount all four of those as disgruntled former employees.
No, not at all. I mean, I happen to know, I think all four you're talking about, Admiral Mullen and General Dempsey, both former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mattis, of course, who had been Secretary of Defense, General John Allen, who had been Marine Corps Central Camp Command Commander, all retired four-star generals, all I know with their varying degrees, very distinguished Americans, Americans of great integrity. And the passage you read, Tommy, I mean, is a stunning indictment by Mattis, now echoed by those other officers, not so much over a question of policy. I mean, Mattis left the White House, left with the administration over an issue of policy, as he thought the precipitous withdrawal of U.S. forces from Syria, on which he was not consulted by the president, oh, by the way, was contrary to U.S. best interests. But this is not a question of policy. This is a question of the president's leadership ability and his outright competence. And I can't recall, certainly in my lifetime, nor even turning the pages of history, where we've seen many examples, if any, of senior retired military officers calling to question the president's leadership and competency, as Mattis has done here and echoed by these other officers. And the thought by some that's going around that this is some kind of a conspiracy amongst these four guys, knowing them as I do, outright total ridiculous.
Let's talk about who is being... What troops have gone to Washington? Where are they now? The Esper says they're going back, then they're coming. Where do we stand on all of that, Colonel?
Well, it seems like the troops are departing, and what had occurred were, in addition to the National Guard from the Washington, D.C. district, that the president has the authority, as we said, to call up, certain other troops have been called up from the 82nd Airborne Division and Fort Bragg's and military police units to come to Washington. It's unclear to me if they were ever actually deployed or if they were staged in the area in case the situation warranted. But it has been reported that they're beginning to return to their bases. That being said, Secretary Esper has been all over the place, unclear exactly where he's at. He joined the president, as did General Milley, the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in this rather unbelievable sojourn across Lafayette Park to conduct a photo op in front of St. John's Church after they had ordered the dispersal of peaceful protesters in the park. He then came out and made a statement that he was opposed to the UC Insurrection Act and that we were not at a grave situation. Apparently, yesterday was called to the woodshed in the White House, and there's a number of reports now that his future as Secretary of Defense may be at best problematical. But we've got going here to draw a line on this, Tom, is what I would argue a crisis in civil-military relations in the United States, placing the uniform senior military in a very difficult position as they try to figure out, does their loyalty to the Constitution and the oath they took when they were commissioned and afterwards check their requirement to, you know, follow the direction of the commander-in-chief, putting them in a very, very difficult and almost untenable position.
Do you think if would the military honor their oath to the Constitution over that of what the president said, and what would the commanders above them, between the president and them, how would they react, do you think?
It's a really difficult problem that they've got. It remains, we'll find out how that turns out over the next few days. Is Mr. Trump actually wittingly or unwittingly putting these officers in that position of conflicting loyalty? It was interesting, after this particular incident in Lafayette Park, General Milley, as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, issued a memorandum to all commands across the country reaffirming the oath of that all soldiers take when they join the military of upholding American values and the constitutional rights of all Americans. And all the serving chiefs, though, also penned memorandums to their respective services. Now, of course, those were carefully crafted and did not criticize the president directly, but pointed out that the issues of racism were issues that could not be tolerated in the uniformed military. And you had this stunning tweet by the chief master sergeant, senior enlisted man in the Air Force, who is African-American, in which he tweeted out, you know, I am George Floyd. I understand what is going on in America over the years and issues of inequality, injustice, and racism that caused this incident to occur and now is spread in terms of widespread demonstrations in response.
Thank you, Colonel. Appreciate your time. 6:31 more when we come back. A little bit late time now for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.